Amen. There are certain passages in God's Word that put you to the test in terms of your view of God. The great preacher A.W. Tozer said, "What comes into your minds when you think about God is the most important thing about you." As you think about God this morning, what comes to your mind as you think of God? And friends, that is very important as we come to this text of Scripture in Matthew chapter 7, because your view of God will affect how you take this verse and how this verse can apply to you. Because if you think of God as some far-off deity in the sky, someone who's up there and someone who is with great majesty and glory and power, he's all those things, but yet he's up there in the sky and he's unmoved by the cares and concerns of his people. Yes, he's all powerful, he's almighty, but yet he doesn't really reach down and really care about our daily lives, about the little small things in our life that seem so insignificant maybe to others. It means so much to us, and you think, God up there in heaven doesn't care about that. If that is your view of God this morning, this invitation from the Lord Jesus Christ, this is an invitation from the Lord Jesus, who says to ask, to seek, and to knock. Well, if your view of God is that he's up there, yes, he's all-powerful, he's almighty, but he's not really concerned about my little life, then this invitation will mean very little to you this morning. Or you may have a view of God that God is limited. Yes, God does care about me. Yes, God is sympathetic to my concerns, but God is not really able to do anything about my concerns. If that is your view of God this morning, then this verse will mean very little to you, because you'll think, well, God is limited. He can do so much, but he's not able to intervene in my life. He's not able to meet me at the point of my need. And therefore, there's no point in me coming and asking. There's no point in me coming and seeking. There's no point in me coming and knocking, because, well, God is not able to help me. Friend, our view of God is so important. We need to have that correct view of who God is. And I want you to see here that the Lord Jesus refers to God as our Father, which is in heaven. And because he does that, that shows us that God is not some far-off deity that is unconcerned about us as individuals. You think of an earthly father and their children. As a child comes to an earthly father with their concerns and with their worries, and any earthly father worth his salt will be concerned, will be sympathetic, will show care, will want to be able to help them. And a genuine and true father, which is what God is to us who are his children, he loves and tenderly cares for his children. He holds us near and dear to him, and he protects us, he provides for us, and he's interested in our lives. And to refer to him here as our Father which is in heaven shows us that it's not merely well-intentioned. It shows us that he's not weak and incapable of meeting our needs. Far from it. Rather, it teaches us that he not only intends what is good and beneficial for us as our Father, but that he's powerful and that he's able and willing to bring about what he intends in our life. It teaches us that we are infinitely loved in the most intimate way by one who is all-powerful, one who is all-wise, one who is all-sufficient, one who is everywhere present. The Bible tells us that there's nowhere on earth that we can go to escape the presence of God. He's with us each step of the way. And nothing can ever happen to his children except he lovingly permits it. And everything that he decrees for us in our lives is for our benefit and for our good at all times. He loves us. So let me ask you, is that the view you have of God this morning? If it isn't, then this invitation from the Savior means very little to you. But if you've come to God in humble faith, if you've come as a sinner unto Jesus, repenting of your sins and trusting in him as your Savior, then God is your Father in heaven this morning, who cares for you, who loves you, and encourages you to ask, to seek, and to knock. You see, that is the starting point for us all. We're only his children if we have been saved, we've been born again by the Spirit of God. And if you have this morning, child of God, God cares for you and he encourages you to come and to ask of him. And ask and do not give up. Ask persistently, believing that he loves you, that he hears your concerns, and he cares about you. I want to look at this text, a well-known text of Scripture this morning, this verse 7. Simply asking, seeking, and knocking. Notice firstly the asking that is to be performed. The asking that is to be performed. The Lord Jesus Christ himself gives us this remarkable invitation concerning his Father. He says, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Obviously, this is written in Greek, in the original language. And in the original language, this is given as a command. Ask, seek, knock. It's given in the present tense. It means to always be asking, always be seeking, always be knocking. This is an invitation, but it is also a command from the Lord to perform this regular habit of life. Ask. Continue to ask. Please notice this promise that the Lord attaches to this command. He promises results. If you ask, it will be given you. If you seek, you will find. If you knock, the door will be opened unto you. The implication of that, obviously, is if you don't ask, you'll not receive. If you don't knock, the door won't be opened. If you don't seek, you won't find. We need to seek, ask, seek, and knock that you might receive. It's always important to have the words of the Bible in their proper context, because not everyone has this right to this invitation. We need to start here. The Lord doesn't invite everyone to ask and seek and to knock. He's only speaking to a certain group of people here. And if someone were to take this out of context, which many people do with the Bible today, we find that if you listen to social media, and you'll find maybe an open-air preacher and someone will come along and they'll take the Bible out of context and say, oh, well, the Bible says we're to keep slaves. The Bible says we're supposed to stone people to death and so forth. They take the Bible out of context. Well, if you take the Bible out of context here and take this verse and say, I can ask God for anything and you give it to me. I'll seek for it. I shall find it. I shall knock. It shall be opened unto me. The Bible says it. Well, then I should get it. Well, if you take that attitude, you'll be frustrated, because we need to go back to Matthew 5 and see who the Lord was speaking to here, the Sermon on the Mount. We read there that in Matthew chapter 5 in the opening verse, and seeing the multitude, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, who is the them? It's not the multitudes, rather it's those who were his disciples, his devoted followers. He was speaking to those who believed on him, who obeyed his teachings, that followed him as his disciple. What does it mean to be a disciple? And we find this term even in modern gospel preaching a lot, a follower of Jesus. And many people say they're followers of Jesus, but what does that mean? Many people follow his teachings. Many people say he was a good person, a good man, and they follow his teachings. But what does it truly mean to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, the Beatitudes describe what it means to be a disciple. It's those that recognize their poor in spirit, those who need God's grace, those who mourn over the sin in their lives, those who come to God meekly and humbly, hungering and thirsting after righteousness that is not their own. Those that have received that righteousness by God's grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, then demonstrate that changed life by living out a life that follows him, that is purity of heart, seeks a peaceful life through Christ by willing to suffer persecution for the sake of Christ. Those are the ones who are his disciples, those who have been saved, those who have been transformed, those that have moved from the broad road that leads to a lost life in hell, those who have been brought onto the narrow way that leads to heaven, those who follow Christ in all things. Because remember, the Lord Jesus Christ, one of his teachings was to repent and believe the gospel. And many people who say they're followers of Jesus, who follow his teachings, well, they ignore that teaching, that they are to repent of sin and to believe the gospel, that he alone is a savior of sinners. And that is very important at the outset of this text of Scripture, that we only can approach God as our Father and ask things of him if we have trusted in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, for our salvation. John 1:12 says, "As many as received him," that is Jesus, "to them gave he," that is the Father, "power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." In other words, you must be born again by the Spirit of God to call the God our Father in heaven. And you may say that seems harsh, that may seem unfair, but remember, God never prohibits anyone from trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ and becoming a child of God by faith. In fact, he gladly made provision for everyone in this world to become a child of God. He made that provision through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He that believeth on the Son hath life. Even the worst sinner in the whole world can become a child of God if he will come and trust in Christ as his Savior. So let me ask you simply at the outset, have you trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you depending upon him for eternity? Or maybe it's good works, or maybe it's church, or maybe it's prayers or something else that will never suffice, that will never make you a child of God. Rather, the Bible clearly says, if you're not saved, if you're not born again, you're a child of the devil. The devil is your father. Here the Lord says, if you want to call him your father, you need to be brought into that saving relationship with him. So this request here, this invitation from the Lord Jesus Christ, is for those who are his disciples, those that are true followers of him, those who have turned from their sin and trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, who have been brought into the family of God. I can now clearly call God their Father. This is an open invitation to all who will believe this morning. Notice secondly, the asking is to be done persistently. Look at verse 8. "For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth. To him that knocketh, it shall be opened." The Lord Jesus affirms the invitation he gave in verse 7, but he's stressing the command that we are to ask and seek and to knock. And then he gives the results here in verse 8, that you shall receive, you shall find, it shall be opened to you. In the original language, again, we need to look at the original language. The Lord uses three present tense participles to describe a kind of person, literally calling such a person the always asking one, the always seeking one, or the always knocking one. And when he stresses the results of these actions, he again uses the present tense of the verb, the doing word, to describe an ongoing habitual product of those actions. It could be translated this way: for everyone who is the always asking one keeps on receiving, and for everyone who is the always seeking one keeps on finding, and everyone who is the always knocking one keeps on finding the door open to them. And if you take that all together, this is a picture of persistence. Keep on, keep on, don't give up. Even the manner of asking that the Lord describes suggests persistence. Do you notice that he doesn't simply say that the person who gets the results is the one who asks? Rather, he seems to describe a wholehearted kind of progression, asking that comes very close to becoming impertinent. They're not only ask, but then they knock. They don't just knock, they seek, they don't give up. And it reminds us of children. You know what children are like. They come to you, "Daddy, can I have this?" "No, you can't." They come back again a few minutes later. "Can I have this?" "No, you can't." Come back again, they tug at your coat. "Can I have this?" "No, you can't." They keep on going, they keep on going. And what do? They usually wear you down. And eventually you may give in to them. And that is the picture that is before us here. As that child comes to the mother, a father, they keep asking and they keep seeking. They go looking. Maybe they come to you and you're off somewhere else. You go to a different room. They search you out. They come to find you. Daddy, I sure can't have it. Please, please. And they keep on and keep on and keep on. Persistent. And that's what the Lord is saying here. We must be persistent in prayer. He's not only asking us, inviting us to ask the Father as his beloved children, but he's urging us to be like children and be persistent in our pursuit of what we ask. I love how the Savior gives us stories to illustrate this teaching. And what he's teaching us in this passage is something that he taught his disciples on another occasion. If you turn to Luke chapter 11, Luke chapter 11, please. We'll find here, he teaches his disciples this lesson. And the verse 5, he says, "And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves? For a friend of mine is in his journey, has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he said from within, and he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut, my children are with me in bed, I cannot rise and give thee. And he said unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needeth." He comes right out here and says the point of this story is to illustrate persistence. Verse 9, "And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. He that seeketh, findeth. To him that knocketh, it shall be opened." Ask, seek, knock. Keep at it. Be persistent. Don't give up until you receive the answer. This man knocked on the door, kept on knocking, kept on knocking. I'm sure you've had that before. You're in your house. You're sitting up in front of the fire, and maybe someone comes to the door. Maybe it's a salesman or someone. And you know that they know you're there. And you're trying to hide. And they knock and they knock and they knock. And you ignore them. And they won't go away. Eventually you have to get up and answer the door to see what they want. And here is it, this picture before us, to keep on and keep on knocking and keep on knocking. He taught this principle of persistence in another parable. We'll turn over to Luke 18 for a moment. Luke 18. As we can see, the Lord had to remind his disciples time and time again. And friends, we need to be reminded time and time again that we not to give up in prayer. We are to be persistent. Luke 18, verse 1, "He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Saying, There was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city. And she came unto him, saying, Avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, Though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will revenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" And again, we see here persistence. "By her continual coming, she weary me." This judge, this unjust judge, gave in because this woman had persistence. And friend, I suggest to you, one of the main reasons why so many people become discouraged or defeated in the Christian walk is because they suppose that things are to come easy. They don't realize that everything worth working toward in the Christian walk requires persistence, requires work. It requires persistence in prayer to keep on asking, seeking, and knocking. Many struggle against this sin. Maybe this is sin in your life, and you know you struggle with this sin. And you've asked the Lord. You said, "Lord, help me with this sin. Help me overcome this sin." And you've prayed for a while, and you haven't overcome it. You keep falling foul of this sin. It sneaks up on you time and time again. Pretty soon you give up. You say, There's no point praying. The Lord hasn't heard my prayer. Prayer doesn't work. Obviously, the Lord's not going to answer this prayer. I'm just going to give up. Or maybe there are those who maybe feel of being called to Christian service or to Christian work or to do something for the Lord, and they've been praying about it, and they don't seem to find an answer. And they say, well, the Lord mustn't want me. I'll simply give up. I prayed, but God didn't answer my prayers, when the whole time God was simply saying, keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. And maybe you've come and you said, Lord, I want a closer walk with thee. I want that closer fellowship with thee. Lord, I want to walk in closer communion with thee. And you've prayed about it and prayed about you. I want to know the Lord better. And yet you run into times of difficulty and you think, you know, I've prayed and look what's happened to me. The Lord hasn't answered my prayer. The Lord has hid his face from me. Pretty soon you give up. And all the while the Lord is saying, keep on. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. You name it. People have prayed for things. Prayed for doors to be opened. Prayed for loved ones to be saved. And maybe there's someone in your life, a loved one, a family member, and you've prayed, and you've prayed, and you've grown weary in praying. Maybe there was a time when you came to the prayer meeting here in the church, and you prayed, but you're no longer found in the prayer meeting. You've given up praying. You said, the Lord hasn't answered my prayer. The Lord hasn't heard me. You've grown weary. You've given up. You've prayed for illnesses to be healed. You've prayed for hindrances to be removed from your life. You've prayed for resources to be provided. You've prayed for these things. You've prayed much for these things, but when you didn't see an answer, you didn't see an answer in your time. You simply give up. And you said, Lord, it hasn't worked for me. Lord, you haven't answered my prayer. You've cried and you think, he doesn't care. There's more important things to worry about than my life. And therefore, you've been defeated, you've been discouraged, because you didn't see an answer to your prayers as soon as you would have liked. If you're a child of God this morning, it's not that God doesn't hear your prayers, friend. It's that he's seeking you to develop your faith in him by calling you to be persistent, to not give up. If you've given up along the way and surrendered to defeat, dear brother and sister in Christ, get up. Get up and get at it again. Get on your knees and seek the Lord. Join with your brothers and sisters in the place of prayer. And ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. But keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. Because the Lord here spurs us on to persistence in prayer with this promise in verse 8. For everyone that asketh receiveth. And he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Let's keep asking, let's keep seeking, let's keep knocking, knowing that those who do so will receive, will find, and have the door opened unto them. One final thought here. Notice the asking which produces. The asking which produces. You see, we ask knowing that our Heavenly Father loves us. And he's never going to give something to us that is not good for us. He's not going to give us something that is not for our benefit. All of his answers to our prayers are only good every time. We need to remember that. And the Lord here uses a couple of examples to illustrate this point, to show us this. He says in verse 9, or what man is there of you whom if a son ask bread, will he give him a stone? In Bible times, bread was made into little buns that looked like little stones or little rocks or that shape. And they looked like a little rock or little stone. And could you imagine a hungry child coming and asking his father for some bread, and that father mocking that child's hunger by giving him a stone, giving him a rock? Now, there's some wicked men in this world, some very depraved and evil men in this world, and they're insensitive and they're cruel. But even such men, even the most wicked men in this world, their own children, ask them for bread, would they give them a stone? Of course they wouldn't. They love their own children. They would provide their own children. They would defend their own children. Even though they're wicked men, the most hardened and wicked man would still give his hungry child a piece of bread when he asks for it. And the Lord gives another example here of a child's request. He said, if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? And scholars have suggested that the kind of fish involved was long and snake-like in appearance. And can you imagine even a hardened and sinful father hearing his hungry child cry out for food, only to mock that child by giving him a snake, a serpent? Now, I'm a very imperfect father. I struggle with sin, as all fathers do here. I make fallible decisions and choices, and compared to my heavenly Father, I'm a very evil father indeed. He sits upon the throne of heaven, and he is very good. I walk upon a sinful world, and I'm a fallen man. And yet even I wouldn't give a stone to a hungry child of mine who wanted and needed bread. And I wouldn't give a deadly serpent to a hungry child who wanted and needed a fish. And so the Lord Jesus Christ here argues from the lesser, me, to the greater, our Father in heaven, and encourages me by saying, if ye, me, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father in heaven, which is good, give good things to them that ask him? Isn't it interesting the Lord doesn't say, for everyone who asks receive exactly what they ask for, or who seeks finds exactly what they're looking for, or to him it knocks will be open to reveal exactly what they have knocked for? Doesn't say that. Rather, we're promised that we will receive and that we'll find and that we'll have the door open to us, but we've no promise to say that we'll be given exactly what we've asked for. And frankly, I praise God for that, as you should too. What an awful mess we'd be in if we as foolish creatures got everything we asked for, because often we ask for things that are not in God's will. How many of our prayers has God answered this week, friend? Well, I would say all of them. God has answered all your prayers this week. Because sometimes he says no. Sometimes he says no. And we often have this mindset, God only answers prayer if he gives us what we ask. See, if your child comes to you and asks for something that is dangerous, you're not going to give it to them. Say, Daddy, I want a knife to play with. Well, you're not going to give them a knife to play with, are you? Because that would be foolish. You would be an irresponsible father to do so. You would say no. You're answering your child and you say, no, you're not getting that. Because that is not of benefit to you. That is dangerous to you. I'm very grateful that often God's answers to my prayers have been no, as you should be also. Because as we grow in maturity, as we learn, just like that child, as a toddler might ask for a knife, and you have to say no. Then when that child grows in maturity and gets older and more responsible, when they come for a knife, well, you can give them a knife because they've learned how to use a knife. They're responsible. They know how to handle a knife. And so even in the Christian life, the Lord sometimes has to say no until we are mature enough to handle the yes. He knows what's best for us. He knows the good things that we need to have. And when the Lord says, when the Father gives us good things to those who ask him, even when they ask for foolish and harmful things, he gives us good things. If we were to ask for a hard stone, he'd give us the bread that we actually needed. And if we were to ask for that deadly serpent, he would give us the fish that would be much better for us. And this underscores a wonderful principle in prayer. And it explains, I believe, why often our prayers we feel are unanswered. We read it in 1 John 5 and 14 where it says, and this is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything, but notice this, according to his will. He heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Apostle John doesn't tell us that our confidence is, if we ask anything, the Father hears us and gives us what we ask. We shouldn't have confidence that he'll give us anything we ask, because he won't. But rather we have this confidence, if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us and gives us what we ask. And this is the principle that I believe is reflected here in Matthew 7 in the Lord's words. Father knows how to give good gifts to his children when they ask. And he wants them to ask. In fact, he wants them to ask with persistence. He wants them to keep on asking and keep on asking and keep on asking until they start asking according to his will. And that's the key, according to his will. You see, that persistence often makes us examine our requests. You know, a child will come maybe to a parent and ask for something, and the answer is no. And if a child is smart enough, they'll go away and they'll start to think, well, they keep saying no to that request. I wonder if I changed my request, if I thought upon it, maybe if I asked it in a different way, or if I changed it slightly, they might say yes. And that has often happened. That has often happened. Because you start to learn what you're asking. What you're asking is not right. You need to change what you're asking in accordance with the will of your parent, and so forth, with our Heavenly Father in heaven. You see, the need for persistence is really a gift of God's grace. It explains why sometimes it seems as if he isn't answering our prayers, when really he's just saying, no, my child. What you've asked is wrong. You've simply just asked wrong. Sometimes you have not because you ask not, but at other times you ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. You ask for the wrong reasons, and therefore I cannot give it to you. I love you. I love you too much. I love you too much, my child, to give you what you ask of me, because I know there's something better for you, and you need to learn that. Be persistent. Learn my will. Keep asking until you ask according to my will, and then I will gladly answer in the affirmative and will give you what you need. All of this means that I can ask persistently with confidence. We can all lay a request before one who is our Heavenly Father, one who loves us more than we can ever know. He desires to give what is good for us. And in his great wisdom, remember, he does not make a mistake. He's perfect. He cannot make a mistake. And therefore, he gives us what he knows what is best for us. Even though we don't always understand it, let us keep on asking. And maybe you have a loved one who's unsaved and they've been brought up in this church. They know the gospel inside out. And he says, Lord, why? And you're broken over them. You wonder, why are they not saved? Well, the Lord says, keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. Don't give up. Keep praying to the very day you breathe your last breath. Pray the Lord will answer your prayer. Oh, friend, we can ask in absolute confidence in his love and trust him to answer only in a way that is better than our asking could ever be, even when that answer at times appears to be no. Don't give up. Be persistent. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. And it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth. And he that seeketh findeth. To him that knocketh it shall be opened unto you. And friend, maybe you're not saved here this morning. Maybe you don't know the Lord. He's not your Father in heaven. Well, he can be. Because the one prayer he will hear from the sinner is the prayer of repentance. That is the one cry he will hear from you. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He will hear that cry. And he will answer that cry. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you don't know him this morning, won't you come and trust him, that he too can be your Heavenly Father. The Lord bless his word. Encourage us through it even this morning to keep on praying. And to be persistent and knowing that he will answer in his time the cries of his children. Let's come and let's seek the Lord. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank thee for thy word. We thank you for the place of prayer. Lord, we confess we often fail. Lord, we grow weary. We give up. Lord, we're not persistent. So often we're distracted. So often we're discouraged about the devil. He'll come and whisper to us that thou dost not care about us. You're not answering our prayers. But Lord, remember, thy word tells us the devil is a liar from the beginning. He seeks to discourage us even in the place of prayer. The devil trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon their knees, because there's power in prayer. Help us to remember that. Help us to keep on asking and seeking and knocking, to be persistent. Lord, bless thy word even to us this morning. Bless all who have gathered with us. We thank you for the communion feast that is before us. Bless those that must leave now. Undertake for those who remain on, Lord, as we meet around the Lord's table. May it be a blessed time even in thy presence. But Lord, go before us now. Keep thy hand upon us for good. We ask and pray this all in our Saviour's precious and worthy name. Amen.